Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I press record. I've done it.
It's one of those days
where
it's just crazy busy.
It's like that every day.
It's all run away from us today. Yeah.
Lots to talk about, though, this week.
Oh, so much.
Nice to see you all. Hope you're all... I can't see you all. What are you talking about? Is it Monday today?
No, it's Tuesday.
Honestly?
Yes.
What happened yesterday?
Well, I was...
You went to Great Ormond Street.
Yeah, at Great Ormond Street with Joel Dommett.
You went to Great Ormond Street to speak to some of the poorly children and things like that.
Yeah.
Cheer them up a bit.
Yeah.
Must be nice
I've done bits and bobs with Great Ormond Street
over the years.
And I just thought that The Masked Singer is an absolute banger of a show to work on and kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could get some of us from that show to go round while it's running?
Mm-hmm.
And go and see some families, and we invited them all to come down and hopefully see the next recording of the series.
Yeah.
So Joel came along with me, and it was, well, you can imagine, it was amazing.
Yes, I can imagine, it's absolutely amazing,
heart-wrenching and heart-warming. And
it must be a nice thing to do. It's like one of those things you get to do when you're famous, right?
Is that yeah.
You get to gift people by turning up somewhere
yeah.
and they really enjoy it. And it must feel lovely, that, does it?
Yeah, it really does. And but I think also, you know, it makes you feel grateful.
Like
that.
What, for your health and your
yeah,
life
and for
and
your
stuff like that.
For your kids' health, because I think I just take it for granted. The other thing it makes you is you know, we are always grateful, and I was outside with you clapping for the NHS when COVID happened. But let's face it, you know, after COVID happened, you kind of forget, you don't do the clapping anymore.
No.
But these nurses do 12-hour shifts and they go above and beyond. It is crazy amazing what these people do. And especially, I think, when it's for children
and how hard
it is. They're at the beginning of their lives. And, you know, when you go to Great Ormond Street Hospital, it's because you are in trouble.
Yeah.
And life for these kids is unimaginably hard. And when you've had an unimaginably hard beginning to life, you're often so brave.
Yes.
And so kind of hardened to how hard your life is.
It'd be interesting to measure that, wouldn't it? You know, if you could just measure how much more robust it made you if you had a tough start in life, or, you know, you saw the unfairness of existence early on in life.
Yeah.
What kind of an impact that would have on you?
One guy was having a spine op today.
Yeah. And how old is he?
He was...
9 or 10 years old, something like that. Okay.
I said, gosh, how are you feeling about that? He said, fine. And his mum went, yeah, he's had lung operations, you know, brain operations. Like, he's had endless operations.
Bloody
you
hell.
Just think, oh, this is normal for him.
I used to watch that show in the morning from time to time, you know, my day off and stuff, which was, I think it was called Children's Hospital, and Nick Knowles used to do it.
Yes.
You could say what you like a bit about Nick Knowles.
Oh, no,
really.
Love him.
He was... brilliant at that show.
National treasure.
And I had no idea just how difficult it is to do a show like that until I had to spend a day as a TV presenter working in a children's oncology ward at Birmingham Children's Hospital, speaking to the nurses and stuff like that, and spending time with the kids. And I thought, Nick Knowles was a genius at
And
that
I tell
job,
you what, he
holding
has,
it
he
together.
Has unbelievable empathy.
Yeah.
So he holds it together.
He's really skilled.
But he also lets you see how he's feeling.
Mm.
Which is a gift.
Yeah,
without
totally,
being
yeah.
manipulative.
No, no, absolutely, yeah.
Without being...
Yeah. I know, without playing games, basically. Yeah.
I worked with him on Comic Relief.
I remember
and I
saying
thought
it.
He was lovely, as were the
That's
boys from
nice.
DIY SOS.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really nice. I don't understand why he's not on everything.
Yeah. Well, well done for bobbing down to
Great
Ormond Street. I'm sure you
thank
did
you.
It as a gift.
Thank you all for having us, and a special hello to Lizzie.
And that was yesterday. So you're right, today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
We've been working together today. I've cut a fringe in your hair today. The fringe has made a comeback.
I like it.
It's nice.
I really like it.
Yeah, it looks good. It does nice things to your face as well.
It softens it a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, really like it.
Just to be clear with everybody, it's not a fringe wig. This is a real fringe.
Oh, God, the hoo-ha.
Oh, the hoo-ha of the wig.
From the bloody wig, Jesus.
It's very funny, that. Lots of people have asked for that wig, though. A lot of people keep saying, can you please send me that wig? I would like it. You know, like, people send you a message and say, I really like that wig. Could you send it to me, please? But, like, not an emoji heart or even a kiss. Just, like, a demand for me to send the wig. And I always think, do you know, if you'd have put a little kiss on there and said, I'd really appreciate it, and you sent me your address and give me all the things, I'd have bunged it in the post. You know, probably never use that wig again.
I love that.
It was just really funny how I think, well, I'll definitely give it to somebody, but bloody hell, you've got to put some effort into it.
I got a very funny thank you from someone last week for stopping you from eating your bounty bar.
Mm.
She's got, like, she's actually got the phobia of the clicky mouth.
Mm.
Do you know, the minute I start talking about it, you start clicking. You're doing it on purpose, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit, yeah. You did a voiceover, though, really, where they asked you to do it a bit more wet, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, and they made you drink some water and then did a voiceover.
Yes, and I had to, but that was the weirdest. I mean, that was,
a bit pervy, that, isn't
it? You know, W1A, when, you know, all the funny stuff that happened. Yeah. That was a classic voiceover funny moment where you think this is a comedy show, you know. Could you say that again, but could you just do it wetter? I beg your pardon.
More moisture in your mouth, please.
I've got so many good things to talk about.
Yes, me too. Can we just first of all start off with Happy Valley, though, first of all, because that's quite like, there's probably lots of people who are already watching it. I get
my God,
that.
But how annoying is it that we can't binge?
It's very, very tricky, that, isn't it? We have now been conditioned that you can only go 24 hours without seeing an episode of something.
To wait an
entire week.
I was absolutely horrified that you couldn't just go straight on.
Straight on.
I would have very happily just watched the beginning 10 minutes of the next episode and then gone to bed.
Yeah. But you went to bed frustrated,
annoyed,
didn't you?
But
if you're not watching Happy Valley yet, I just want to make a big recommendation for it. Go back to the beginning, watch series one, series two. You know, they work in order. It helps if you see them
You've definitely got to see them all. James Norton and...
Sarah Lancashire.
Is...
You know, she was in Coronation Street.
Flipping unbelievable.
She's called Raquel.
Her face is so good in it.
Yeah.
She's just such a good actor. And, you know, when you look at kind of American cop dramas and how glossy and shiny they are.
Really lovely
and how there's something
rough
so
about this,
low
isn't there?
Rent about the police.
Yeah.
You know, and how she's just standing in and everybody in the, you know, local community kind of knows her and how bolshy she is. I love it.
Yeah.
But James Norton, in particularly in series one, he is so evil. And it makes me laugh that people kind of succumb to his charms because he's quite good looking, you know.
I'm a bit easy Aussie about British drama. You know, ITV drama's got a certain kind of gloss to it.
Mm.
BBC dramas, I think, have got a certain element of CBBC to it for me. I kind of can see through a lot of it.
Mm.
But Happy Valley, I think, is in a slightly different class all
different
on its own. So if you feel a bit like me about British drama on terrestrial TV, I'd park all that to one side and definitely sink your teeth into to Happy Valley. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really
highly
fed up
recommend
that I can't
and
watch it.
You will really, if you haven't watched it, and I know this might sound like hype, which I hope won't put you off, please go and start it from scratch. And I'm so jealous that you've got two series to watch.
It's funny because I've forgotten season one and season two. And
season one was very, very short hair. Season two was slightly longer hair, finding out about the sun.
I can only see things in hair length. but I, I'm I remember it being really good. I'd probably quite like to go back, or at least find a little YouTube recap.
In between times, shall we go back and watch Series 1?
Series 1, yeah, great, because we've got time to do it.
I'd love to.
Yeah, okay. So that's certainly my first recommendation for your folks. What have you got for us, McCall?
So, you know, we recommended the air fryer, the instant air fryer last week.
Oh, my God, yeah, they're going to send me one to work.
I was thinking that we also need to tell people how to make it. And I like visual stuff. I mean, I love recipe books and everything. But I think air fryers, you have to kind of live and experience and breathe it. Anyway, I came across Air Fryer Girl UK on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Air Fryer Girl UK, all one word. Mm-hmm. She's got 134, nearly 135,000 followers. Like a week ago, it was kind of a lot less than that.
Oh, why really? It's gone whoosh.
It's gone whoosh. But what I like about it is it's all pretty simple stuff. Mm-hmm. Sweet potato and sausage hash. Air fryer sea bass, yum. Air fryer chicken skewers, mm-hmm. a quick air fryer snack, air fry your Sunday roast, which is what we did, which was amazing. Air fry your veg peelings. Ooh, so you peel your potato,
yeah.
You wash your potato skins, you dry them on some kitchen towel and shake them about a bit. And then you put them into your air fryer after you've drizzled them with oil, cover them with some sea salt.
Because
obviously, the skin is the best bit. Unsurprisingly, this one has got 2.2 million views.
Bloody
but
hell.
They are like little crispy bits.
Oh, good Lord, with a bit of salt.
Yes. Unbelievable. So, you know, waste not, want not, right? Mm. But perfect air fryer pastries. Hello. Chicken thighs, sausage rolls. I mean, I've got to say, the Hasselback sweet potatoes.
Oh, I love a Hasselback.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
We haven't done Hasselbacks.
What do you mean we haven't done Hasselbacks?
You and I, sizzling sausages.
I've made you Hasselbacks.
Sausages in the air fryer are unbelievably good. Yeah, really, really good. So there's, and all of it is easy to follow, easy to digest. She's amazing. Thank you, Air Fryer Girl.
Instant Pot got in touch with us because I said on last week's podcast, I'm going to get one for work. They're very kindly.
Isn't that nice?
You're going to send me one.
Yeah, thank you.
So
thank
you. In return for that, you expect to see in my reels in the coming weeks what I'm having for me lunch. Because me, Reese and Andy were like, bloody hell.
You've got because a hashtag got, gift.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, hashtag gift. Yeah. But first of all, thanks very much, Instant Pot.
Yeah.
And the air fryer that we did recommend last week is the one, I think.
It is. Oh, it's
because
definitely
of
because
size,
of the size.
The size
and
you
the
can
split.
Get in there. Yeah.
You can split it into two.
Yeah, of course.
Or you can do the big pork belly, which was the thing.
God, it was amazing.
It
wasn't
was the bloody crunchy.
Yeah, the crackling.
Crisp crackling.
Yeah.
I've never known crackling be so evenly cooked ever in my life.
It was perfect. It was absolutely knockout. So, I mean, I work
air fryer
in
Soho.
It's so expensive to get your lunch. Yeah. So I'm going to save a fortune.
Save a fortune.
Yeah. I'm delighted. Before Christmas kicked in, we were invited to Gary Barlow's kind of, it was the 1 year anniversary of the launch of Gary Barlow's wines.
Yes. And it was kind of Christmas, and it was like, let's all get together, and why don't you just come and celebrate my 1 year party and have a drink? And unexpectedly, we got a little bit of a concert.
Oh yeah, he did.
He did some singing. He had a guitar. My pants.
Yeah, he sang Back for Good.
Yes,
it's quite
he
weird.
Had a band.
It's quite weird when you see them out of the context of a stage and an audience and all of that stuff, but at a party to see.
But he, and you know, when he smiles and when he sings, it just melts my heart.
He's a very lovely
he's
guy.
He's a lovely man. Mm. And his family, his kids were there,
his wife.
I'm not going to talk too much about them because obviously, know, but suffice to say, just a really grounded family. Yeah. You know, it's like he's had a crazy life, but his family are really lovely.
The thing I wanted to talk about is his launch to Rosé.
Yeah.
In the mix, so you've got a white wine, a red wine, and a rosé. So I still believe it's a Spanish
organic
grape, organic wine, £8 a bottle. I think I had 6 glasses of this rosé.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I love a glass of rosé with a chunk of ice in it. I like it nice and cold. And I know rosé is generally a summer drink, although I like drinking it up the mountains when I'm skiing as well. It's a holiday drink, basically.
It's holidays, isn't it?
And I like to feel like I'm on holiday
all
the
time,
right?
Any season.
Now, I like the Whispering Angel rosé. I had a bottle of that.
I mean, that's quite expensive.
Yes, it is.
It's quite fancy pants.
It's not. It's bloody nice.
It's
though,
bloody
that.
Nice, but it's it. It you pay for it.
There's another rosé which I really like that they do at Soho House called the Lady A of Provence. That's a really nice rosé. I'm just going to list me three favourites. And then that one that's from Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's place in France.
Is it? But is it now Brad's or Angelina's?
It's never been, but it's called the name of the, what's it called?
The Vineyard. Oh my God, I remembered something that you'd forgotten.
Well done. And remember we went to the George in Rye for lunch just before Christmas.
Yeah, and they had it.
Me and Brett shared a bottle of it there, and it was really good.
Really?
But it's not called like Brangelina Rosé. I can't remember what it's called. It's quite expensive. It's comparable with Whispering Angel. Anyway, the point I'm making is all these expensive ones, but I really love the Gary Barlow one at £8 a bottle. If you're looking for a good all-round rosé...
And you were worried about the colour.
Yes, apparently he'd made it slightly darker because, you know, various trends in rosé these days says that more and more people were drinking a slightly darker rosé. And the rest of them are a bit blush or a bit pink. It's a bit darker in colour, which might put you off. But I would say it's only £8 a bottle. Buy a bottle, give it a slosh, see what you think. I think it's delicious.
Mm.
And on New Year's Eve, I think, here,
yes,
I drank an entire bottle before we went out. I was pretty drunk by the time I got out. But bloody hell, I loved it. It were right good. So anyway, I'm going to recommend that. If you like wine, you like a bit of rosé.
Well, we've recommended every colour wine that he does.
Yeah, yes, now. All three, yeah.
And they can, I think it was only for sale in Morrison's, but now I think you can get it pretty much anywhere. Mm. But actually, when we buy Gary's wine, we buy it by the case.
Yes.
From his website.
From his website, yeah.
Which is really easy to do, and it got delivered one or two days later.
Yes.
It's easier than going to a supermarket and buying a case of wine because it gets delivered to your front door.
Yes, yeah.
I would like to talk about somewhere that you took me that you've been going to for years and years.
Yes.
And it completely blew my fucking mind. So the concept was not good for me.
Okay.
You were telling me that we were going to go and stand outside in the freezing cold of a restaurant called Entrecote in Marylebone. And I was like, oh, right, okay. So this is interesting. We're going to go to stand outside a restaurant in the freezing cold.
Yes.
Like, for how long? And you went, well, it depends if we get in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get to the restaurant for about, what time?
5.30. 5.30,
it opens at 6. I said, what, we're going to get there half an hour before it even opens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll see. We need to do that. I was like, are you serious? Anyway, 120 Marylebone Lane in London. There are other locations. I'm going to tell you about those in a moment. If you look up Le Relais... it's just relaisdevenise.com, R-E-L-A-I-S-D-E, Venise, V-E-N-I-S-E.com. But actually, if you look up Entrecote, you will find it. Entrecote in Marylebone Lane.
Yeah, it says son Entrecote. What does son Entrecote mean?
His
Entrecote.
His Entrecote.
Ah, right, okay.
So... basically, we turn up half an hour early. There's already quite a queue, but Michael was excited because it wasn't that long a queue.
Yes, we could get in.
And there was four of us, and we got to the door when it opened at 6. But by the time it opened at 6, the queue was going around the corner, and it was at least two sittings before the people at the back of the queue were going to get in.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
The size of the queue by the time you hit 6 p.m.
But for me, it was the premise that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
The staff are not French necessarily, but they behave French. So it's a bit like, shut up, sit down, you're going to eat
Karen
what
Steiner.
I give you.
Yes.
It was a bit like Karen Steiner. But you get... one main course, and you don't get to choose what it is.
Mm.
And that is, you get steak. It's fillet steak, I asked.
Mm.
You get fillet steak cooked to perfection. You can have it cooked your way. You can have it cooked well if you want. Obviously, they don't like doing that for you. But you get the steak cooked in a way, and then it comes with a sauce, which is fucking delicious.
Oh, the sauce is unbelievable.
And then you get it with... the best French fries I have ever eaten in my life. And when you've finished your steak and sauce and French fries and your plate is empty and it's a very small plate that you get delivered, you then get offered more.
Yes.
Which I didn't need,
but
I had to say yes to because it was so flipping delicious. So I had second helpings of steak and chips and sauce until I was absolutely... and I had no intention of finishing the steak and chips and sauce.
Yeah.
Finished all of it,
yeah.
Second helping. So good. And apparently, you could keep going.
Yeah.
They keep giving you steak and chips until you can't eat anymore. And then they come to you with a selection of puddings. You've got sort of five or six puddings, lovely selection of coffees, and then you pay the bill. It was one of the best steak and chips I have ever had in my life. Yeah. It was fan-flipping-tastic. You've got to go.
And there's a lot of people probably going, yeah, well, I've had steak and chips before. You know, you can get it in any French bistro or whatever. It's just a different experience. They do this thing where they very thinly cut it as well.
Yes.
So you get almost like fingers of steak.
Oh, and you get a salad.
Yeah, everybody gets a salad, which is just a kind of butter leaf, a butter head leaf salad.
You don't get to choose your salad. No. Shut up.
And it's covered in this vinaigrette with walnuts on it. And God, it's bloody nice.
On the website, you can see.
Yeah, you can see on
what
the website.
It all looks like. Right. But the other locations, just in case you're interested, there's one in London City. Mm-hmm. There's one in London Marylebone. There's one in New York. And there is one in Mexico City. And there is also one in Toulouse, the original one, I think.
Yes.
But it doesn't have it written down here. Maybe it was in Toulouse and it's closed down. But it is worth coming to London on a pilgrimage to try it. It's great. But get there early, definitely. Half an hour before.
Yes, get there for 5:30.
Before it opens.
And don't worry,
sure.
You've got to sit around. You know, you've got to stand around for half an hour. But you are on Marylebone Lane, which is a lovely place to stand.
There's all sorts of activities going on. If there is four of you, two of you can go off and have a mooch around Marylebone Lane.
And then two of
you can come back and then you could swap out in the queue. But it was great. Thank you.
Oh, it's a total
pleasure. I really enjoyed
it. It's a total pleasure.
I loved it.
I think Grant, my brother Grant's coming into town on the 20th, on Friday the 20th. So he arrives at King's Cross at about 4 or 5 o'clock. And my dad said, we're going to pick up Grant and go straight to the Entrecote. So, you know, I was like, okay. I think, sadly, you're QVCing.
I'm QVCing, yeah.
I know, which is a heartbreaker.
No, don't. Yeah.
Shall I send you pictures? No.
No.
Okay. I'll send you noises.
Yeah, no. No.
But it's a really, really brilliant place, this. After we went there, because we went there for my son's birthday, he's 19 years old, and he requested to go there. And then as a little treat, I wanted to take him to this museum that's opened up on Oxford Street called the Twist Museum. Now, I wanted to take you before Christmas, really, but we just completely ran out of time. But the Twist Museum is a museum of optical illusions.
Is it in the old BHS?
It looks like it's in the old British Home Stores. Yeah. So
it's in London?
It's in London. It's on Oxford Street, and it's very close to John Lewis. Now, I realise we're a bit London-centric this episode so far, but you can forgive us for that by when you come to London doing these things. You'll know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's called the Twist Museum. Now, you can pre-book tickets, which I highly recommend, because you get them about £22 a ticket if you pre-book them.
If you came down for the day, you could do both of these things. They're walking distance apart.
Yes, a five-minute walk from each other. A really nice five-minute walk
really
through St.
Nice
Christopher's Place and all that.
Nice walk.
And then the Twist Museum, is an exhibition rather than a museum, but of optical illusions that date back probably for hundreds of years, some of them, I think.
And we'll post them some photographs that we took on Making the Cut, so you'll be able to go over there on Friday morning and have a look at them.
Yeah, yeah. So there's very interesting. So there's rooms that you can go in where if one of you stand at one end of the room, one stands at the other, one of you looks tiny by comparison because of the shapes that are on the wall and the sloping floor that you're on.
Did you tell me that's how they shot Big?
Yeah, films like Elf, they shoot them in with perspective, essentially. Mm. So they don't shoot two different things. They shoot actors in the same room, but put them maybe 10 meters apart. So some actors look tiny and some look big. So there's loads of weird techniques that they use in movies that you'd assume were CGI, but actually it's just physics and cameras and lenses and light. Mm. So there's things like that in there, but there's loads of other little quirky little things to do with colour. Like they have this light that removes the colour from everything. So you're looking
weird.
You look in a mirror and everything kind of looks murky yellow. And then they put a light on and then you can start to see colour and you can start to see red and blue and green. They're all there anyway, but it's just the type of frequency of light that's bouncing off things. So it's just little things like that you think, oh, God.
But it's an amazing place for gifts.
Yeah, some nice gifts there,
really,
isn't there, gift shop?
I remember going and thinking, gosh, I wish I'd come here before Christmas.
Stocking fillers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so many great stocking fillers. Yeah. But if you've got like a kids' party to go to or something, it's an expensive kids' party, but it'd be a great birthday gift for a kid.
And like I say, if you can pre-book, and I think they've got deals on family tickets, if you're buying family of four and two, you're under 16 and things like that. But definitely pre-book, because I don't think it's worth £30 a ticket.
No.
But it's definitely worth £22
a
ticket.
For sure.
So pre-book is what I would say to you. You spend an hour in there, I would say. You could rush through it in 45 minutes, but it's mm-hmm. worth interacting with everything. And the other thing we found when we were in there is that everybody's giggling and laughing.
Yes.
And are happy to be there and taking loads of pictures and all the rest of it. So it's a place where you go meet lots of strangers
totally.
And kind of giggle and laugh at all these slightly weird things. But, you know, whenever I go to a place like that or wherever I see an optical illusion, I always imagine I'm in a court case and I've been called as a witness.
Are you joking?
No. So this is what goes through my mind.
You are so funny.
And they go, so, Mr. Douglas, what do you think you saw when the car went past at 11 o'clock last Sunday or something? And I go, I saw this blue car go past and all that. And then they go, well, if you look at this CCTV footage, you'll see that it's a red car that went past. I think,
oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it is a red car. Why did I see blue? Or, you know, like, I think what you're seeing is not
Wouldn't
always
that be
what
great
you're
that
seeing.
You could commit a crime as an optical in an optical illusion.
It's a great idea for a movie, this, oh. right? A series
like
of crimes
the illusionist.
That are optical illusions. And the barrister for the defence is presenting optical illusions in court for the jury to see how
yeah.
things could be distorted.
Oh, that's you think it's that? The, what yeah, makes you think it's that?
Well, let me do a little experiment with you, the jury, and then show them some shapes and some colours.
Shouldn't say anymore. Let's write
yeah.
it.
Yeah. As I walked around the Twist Museum, that's all I could think about. Mm. Oh my God, I was in a court case and there was a murder in the Twist Museum. What did I see? A giant penguin sat in a chair with some blue light coming down. Then there was blood everywhere.
Was it a penguin? Really?
Puffin. A bird began with pee. Penguin bird.
I'm gonna. Yeah. So, Yeah.
Don't know. I guess it flies underwater, yeah. doesn't it? You know. Okay.
I'm going to go less London centric.
Okay.
Janie Godley, who I really like.
Oh, I love Janie Godley.
Now, you might know Janie Godley. She is a Glaswegian comedian and author and badass woman. She really made me laugh in lockdown. I mean, she kind of kept me going in lockdown with her pastiches of voiceovers of Nicola Sturgeon. Oh my God, they were so funny. And then she does these little voiceovers of animals.
And she did Boris Johnson,
doing things.
Of course.
Oh my God, the Boris. Yeah. I mean, her political satire is very, yeah. very funny. But she's also a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's making her way in comedy, which I always think is quite hard.
Yeah, I agree.
And she also wrote a book, which I recommended on here a while back. A novel,
yeah.
And it was absolutely brilliant. Mm. And I sent one to your mum because I enjoyed it so much.
Well, my mum loves Janie Godley.
Yeah. So anyway, Janie Godley, very sadly, as some of you that follow her and have enjoyed her comedy will know, she's had ovarian cancer and she has very publicly gone through the treatment for it. And she's gone through losing her hair and shared it all with us on Twitter. And we've all been behind her. And she's been funny and she's been sad and she's been brave and she's been scared.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of gone with her all the way. And she then went into remission. Sadly, she's had a relapse and she is now life limited.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing one last tour. And this woman really is worth going
yeah,
to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
And she she is really worth going to see. And I've got her website up in front of me. So if you just look up janiegodley.com, you'll be able to sign up to her Twitter because that's really good to like look
at. And her Instagram. Yeah.
And I'm just going to quickly read what she says. I'm still not dead yet and bringing my tour back on the road. So many stories of heartwarming love and an outpouring of support. To the occasional daily messages hoping I might die soon because, well, I'm a woman who answered back. There will be voiceovers and anecdotes straight from a woman who wouldn't die or shut up. Please come join me. Please watch social media for more details and this page for future listings. And we've got tours and gigs. So she's going to be in Arbroath, Inverness, Galashiels, Kilmarnock, Dunfermline, Aberdeen, Perth, Edinburgh, how do you say Greenock?
Greenock.
Yeah. Okay. Motherwell, Stirling, Glenrothes, Dundee, Musselburgh, Glasgow, and three dates in London at the Leicester Square Theatre.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
When?
She's doing the dates in Leicester Square Theatre 16th, 17th, 18th.
Of?
March.
March. Well, folks, you should come to London, go to the Entrecote, go to the Twist Museum, and go to the Leicester Square Theatre. you would have one of the greatest
days of your life.
You'd be full of beef for a start. You'd have had all these optical illusions and you're finished with a great big laugh. The Leicester Square Theatre is my favourite place to see comedy.
Brilliant, isn't it? That's where we went to see Stuart Lee. But also I just want to say anywhere, I mean, going to see her in Glasgow would be amazing. Yeah, we're going to go and see her in Dundee. But I would really recommend going to see her. She's badass.
I love that. Thanks. I'd forgotten all about talking about Janie. That's brilliant. We watched a film that I'm still thinking about now. The Triangle of Sadness.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's quite a movie, wasn't it?
It was really weird. Unfortunately, I had an enormous phone call.
Fortunately,
with my sister in the middle of it, so I don't feel.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm going to talk about this, but you got the general gist of it.
I will listen to your. I got the gist. It was amazing.
First of all, it's a bit too long. It's 2 hours 20 minutes. But don't let that put you off. But you'll get to the end of it and think, I loved it. But you could shave 20 minutes off it, I think. But God, it was really interesting. My dad had talked about it and then he talked about it again and again and again, which made me think, you really want me to watch this film, right? He didn't big it up at all. He just said he watched it and found it really interesting. And then he kept talking to me about it. And I thought, okay.
Well, a bit like you, I think it sat with him.
Yes. And it still sits with me now, I think. Yeah. The other thing we've been watching, obviously, is The White Lotus. And it feels to me like a film in the same vein as The White Lotus.
Mm.
So it's about class and it's about sex and it's about age and gender and politics and all the things that we seem to be consumed about on social media all get explored in this film and all get explored in The White Lotus as well, I think. Very, very nicely done. But I thought the film was great. It starts off with a male model kind of going through an objectification process, I think. They're being objectified.
It reminded me so much of the 90s. And I used to work in a male model
section of
an agency, and they'd come back and tell me about castings that they'd done where, you know, they'd be asked to do the most ridiculous stuff. And it's like, now act as if something really bad's happened. Oh, now laugh. You've got to suddenly laugh and then cry and then laugh and then cry and then, you know, walk up and down with your top off and then, walk up and down as if you're listening to your favourite song. It's like, it's agonisingly embarrassing, but you just have to park all your sort of dignity and sensitivity and embarrassment at the door and just do it because that's what you got to do if you...
What's very interesting, about the opening scene of this film is they've specifically chosen this area, I would have thought, because it's the one area where women do earn quite a lot more than men. It's in a world that I think where it seems to be more criticised and more harsh on women. But here's an example of men being objectified and paid a lot less as a result of it as well. So it's a really interesting kind of quandary that you've got in your mind about how you feel about that and whether you care about it or not, because men do so well in so many other areas. Why does this even matter, you know?
And the other really fascinating bit was when she was talking about going on and he was saying, you're just going to go and become somebody's trophy wife.
Mm.
It's like two models going out with each other.
Yes, a girl
and
a guy.
He was saying to the girl, you're just going to, you know, just be some... She said, I want to be somebody's trophy wife. That's my goal.
Mm.
And interestingly, that kind of flips. I'm not going to say what happens, but it slightly flips onto him towards the end of the movie. And I was like, oh, wow,
The director's swapping these gender roles all the time. It's up to you.
Back again.
It's up to you what you think about it, I think. But that's what's interesting because you're challenged all the time to think, oh, how do I feel about this? That she is now behaving in a way that a man would normally behave, or how is he adopting this role and how does he feel about it? It's so nicely done. The actors, those two actors, bloody brilliant.
Very, very sad that she died.
Yes, I went onto IMDb and it turns out that she died. So there's a bit where she's in a bikini. And she's got a scar up her stomach, but I read an article about her. She had a very bad car crash, I believe, and they had to remove her a spleen, I think. So I assume that was a result of that. And then she seemed to die suddenly after they made that film.
I think they did say it was as a result of not having a spleen.
Oh, really?
Or pancreas or something.
Okay. But it's really quite sad to know that that's what happened to her in the end, because she plays a significant part in the film.
She also was a huge star in the making, and she's just been taken from us.
Anyway, after that, they turn into influencers and go on a very high-end cruise on a small boat, but I think it's something like a £250 million cruiser with a lot of very wealthy people from lots of different backgrounds. You know, an old couple who were arms dealers, an old Russian fertilizer, agricultural farmer who's a multi-billionaire. You're on a boat with a mixture of people and a very drunk alcoholic captain played by Woody Harrelson. And then a lot of poor people who work on the boat as well. And it's the dynamics between all these people that you get an insight to. And then there's a disaster that seems to happen. And then all the power structure changes on the boat where the wealthy people become, what do you call it, kind of valueless.
And also useless. They're useless, yeah.
And the people who know how to do something all of a sudden have all the power. And it's a question that what do these people who've been powerless before now have all the power do with that power, you know? Anyway, I thought it was a brilliant ending.
Yeah, it was very, very clever.
And it's a great film.
A brilliant ending.
Yeah, and I think it rates very well on IMDb. I think it's like 7.6 or something like that. But I can imagine lots of people would watch it and find it really boring. But what I would say is like immerse yourself in the movie and really kind of listen to the dialogue and try and get under the skin of what the director wants you to feel.
I think you've explained it very well there. It's what I like is that the director isn't telling you what to feel. He's putting lots of conundrums in your way and asking you, how do you feel about this now?
That's
what I like about it.
It's how
you're
do
not
you feel?
Being told what to think or feel. You're having situations put in front of you and they are thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And afterwards, it is the kind of film that you want to sit down. It's like the kind of film you'd want to go and watch in a film club.
Yes,
and then
absolutely.
All sit round a table and discuss it afterwards.
You could definitely have a really good evening out with your partner or friends or whatever after watching the film and say, okay.
And then go to Entrecote and discuss
it. Let's talk about this, you know, because where the hell is this? There are bits in it that are absolutely disgusting, by the way. So if you've got low tolerance for disgust, you have to be very careful there because it's bloody revolting in some areas, but bloody fascinating in others. I really enjoyed it. So it's called The Triangle of Sadness. And it's quite a small
film.
It's
interesting. Don't say what it is, but it is interesting when you find out what the triangle of sadness is.
Yeah, yeah, it is, isn't it? You're just like, oh, is that what it is? You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, thought it was really good. Okay.
I want to talk about something that my, you know, my auntie Becca and Gabba sent me ideas for this podcast.
Yeah.
And they sent me a really good one this week that I think you are going to absolutely love. I did mention it to you the other day and you loved it.
Can you keep talking while I just prep the
yes,
salmon?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll listen to you.
Okay, yeah, no, fine. So Michael is making dinner for me tonight and it is salmon, which is baked in the oven with some special seasoning on it. And then
it's actually mild curry powder I put on.
Okay, that's like the magic seasoning. Mild curry powder. And then he gets a packet of stir-fry veg and cooks that and then makes the magic sauce that you put over it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a soup. And then he mixes in the noodles in with the veg and then he puts the noodles and the veg in a bowl and then lays the salmon on the top and then pours the jus onto the noodles and the veg to make it a soup. It's like a ramen.
Yeah,
a salmon ramen.
Now, do you want any noodles tonight? Or do you just want the veg?
Well, have you got noodles?
Yeah,
I don't really need noodles, do you?
Let's not have noodles.
Steve the dad bod. Michael's not having noodles.
No, I've done carbs today.
He's done carbs. So,
yeah, so go on.
I'm gonna let you finish with the tin foil.
Okay.
Get it in the WhatsApp. So anyway, my auntie Becca and my mum Gabby send me lots of stuff for the podcast, but this one's a really good one. So, Michael, you love DIY.
Yes.
And do you remember Shabby IE, that amazing Instagram account in Ireland, the woman?
Absolutely.
And I love her as well.
Yes.
She's going to love this because Wix, the DIY store.
Yes.
Wix.
Tell me about this.
Wix.co.uk have done a page. So if you go to wix.co.uk and then you /, and it says DIY is good for you. So wix.co.uk/DIY is good for you. And they have done a whole page about how new research is saying that DIY can boost your mental and physical well-being. And it's found that the majority of Brits watching paint dry actually isn't boring at all. They say that they love, 58% say they love watching and checking on it. And they teamed up with a leading neuroscientist. I bloody love neuroscientists, I'm telling you. To understand how DIY can help counter anxiety, stress, and also improve well-being. So Dr. Jack Lewis said that various pieces of evidence suggest that undertaking and watching DIY is a relaxing experience. Meditation in its purest form is about living in the moment, being present and focusing on the task in hand. And doesn't DIY, it does that.
DIY is you know, for my mental health,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything better than if somebody said, could you build that for me or put it on them shelves or something like that. If I was feeling a bit low or a bit unsure about, I've got purpose, I've got stuff to do.
I've watched you do that at the weekend. I've watched you say, right, I'm going out to B&Q and you'll just get anything to fix anything.
Yeah, it makes me feel better. It's like exercise.
So they did a survey with 1,500 people to ask them how they felt about DIY. 86 participants said doing some form of DIY had been beneficial to their well-being and eased anxieties. DIY or home improvement topped the poll for most satisfying activities. 51% of the vote. It came above yoga, 30%, and 26% said playing sport. And 82% of those surveyed revealed that saving money by undertaking DIY tasks also really improves their sense of well-being. Because it's such a feeling of satisfaction saving money. Yeah. And the other really interesting thing for anybody that's, you know, I'm not particularly DIY, but they said even watching DIY is relaxing. And just because I'm not DIY doesn't mean that I can't learn or I can't teach myself kind of some basics. And this is why I mentioned Shabby IE again. If you live in Ireland and you are interested, or anywhere, you know, go and stay in Ireland near Shabby IE is the name of her Instagram account. And go and do a course and become better at DIY. But anyway, half the participants, about 45%, said even just watching DIY footage made them feel more relaxed.
Well, and one in 10 Instagram, right?
Admitted that sounds, including mixing the paste and cutting the wallpaper, helped them unwind. So they've got lots of lovely videos on their page. But the other thing that I love about them, I mean, come on, Wix. Mm. It's Wix. And they've partnered up with Young Minds.
Brilliant.
And they are, that's one of the UK's leading charities fighting for young minds and supporting and empowering people to do a challenge themselves. They're doing great things. And I really love them for it. So well done, Wix. Congratulations on doing that. And I think we could all do a bit more DIY. I find it's like doing a puzzle DIY. You can't think about anything other than
what the what thing you're that's doing. In front of you. That's why I do it, I think. It really helps me clear my mind.
Clear your mind, yeah.
Or it makes me, it really helps me think about, like, if I've got a problem at work, if I just sit there and think about it, it's too much.
I get
depressed about it, or I find it difficult or whatever. But if I'm doing something and I can think about the problem properly while I'm going through this process, I love it. The garage at the moment is full of lumps of wood that's going to turn into something, by the way, by the time the summer comes around. So there you go. Oh, I'm really glad that they suggested that. Gabber and Becker are like two researchers that we don't
They're
pay.
They're so good, aren't they?
And bloody brilliant, yeah. It was quite funny. Becker did the salute before the King's speech on Christmas Day this week.
Do you know why she did that?
Yeah, to your dad.
So my dad.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
My granny and my dad were ardent royalists. Mm. My sister was an ardent royalist. Mm. I have to say, I've never really watched the Queen's speech, but I was very interested to watch the King's speech this year because it was the first
me
one.
Me too, I loved it.
And I loved it because Rebecca...
It's okay. Take a breath.
Rebecca stood up and did a salute because my dad
would have done that.
My dad always stood up.
I liked it.
And did a little salute, you know.
Yeah.
And I really loved her for that.
Yeah, good. Me too. It's very funny. The King's speech was brilliant. I can't remember if we already talked
very
about
good.
It last week.
We
I
haven't.
Feel like we did. We didn't talk about it.
I don't know that we did.
Well, I really liked it. I thought you said some really good things.
I really liked it.
And
going through a lot, aren't they?
I'm going to make it tradition at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, I did watch.
Okay, well, I'll do that with you. Let's make it a new us living together tradition.
Every Christmas we watch
the
King's
we'll
speech.
Do that.
I'd love to do that.
Do you know what I am quite enjoying as a new couple? Mm-hmm. Doing new things, you know, because we are newly living together, is that it is quite nice making new traditions.
Yes, you know, it is nice, isn't it? Yes.
We did that before Christmas. Yeah. You know, sat down and went, okay, well, let...
What should we do?
Blank space.
Yeah.
What should we make a tradition from now on?
Mm.
It's nice doing that.
Yeah, it's very nice. On the subject of the royal family, I did watch most of the ITV interview with Harry and Tom Bradbury.
Yes.
And I thought it was all right. I thought Tom Bradbury could have challenged him a bit more, to be honest. What I did really
Harry came across quite well, didn't he?
Yes, he's very articulate and all the rest of it. But so he should be. You know, he's had a good education. He's nearly 40 years old. Like, it's not, it shouldn't be that difficult to say what you think. The most interesting bit is him talking about his mother's death. So if you're interested in Diana and all of that, I did find that really quite compelling, not because he's Prince Harry and that's Lady Diana, but
a young man
just
losing his mum.
Yes, and
what it feels like and what he went through.
And how his dad told him and all of that stuff.
I mean,
I found it really interesting that. I was glued to the screen actually for it.
It's an insight into families. When you think how old Charles is now, I guess he's in his 70s. There wasn't a right or wrong way to do things back then. Like, you know, it sounds like... It was just a horrific thing, but to have to play that out in the public eye and to have to, you know, there's a sense of duty and there is a way that as a member of the royal family, like, it's supposed to be done. That's very, very hard when you're a kid. And he was at the worst age of all. I mean, William was a bit older and I think could kind of compartmentalize it a bit. But he should have just, like, if he'd have gone through that now, he'd have had tons of counselling.
Yes.
But... In those days, it wasn't a thing, probably, you know.
But it was very interesting. I certainly won't be reading the book, but I am interested in watching the TV interviews. One, because I do like watching TV, and I'm fascinated by big interviews like Frost Nixon and all that stuff. I think it was brilliant. Richard Bacon used to have this show called The Daily Bacon on Five Live, and he interviewed somebody significant every day. And he did Tony Blair and Alistair Campbell, he did David Frost, and he just, I loved it. I love big interviews, you know, I don't really mind who they're with and what they're about, but I just loved them. So that was the reason I watched it, really. But also to be part of the conversation around that massive subject.
Mm.
You can't be part of the conversation, I don't think, unless you've actually watched the TV show.
Can I tell you, like, I've given up watching it.
I had as well.
I'm a bit over it.
I don't know.
But what I love is that you watch it.
Yes.
And then you tell me the important bits. You tell me the highlights. Yeah. And then I had a big chat with Gabba and Becca.
Yeah.
And they told me the other highlights for them.
Yeah, okay.
And you know.
It's very
interesting. And now I feel like I'm across it.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
But should we do some shout-outs?
We'll definitely do some shout-outs. Why don't you start with a shout-out? Because
Will you help me?
Yeah, of course I will. But I steal all the shout-outs.
No, you don't.
It doesn't feel... It doesn't.
I like it when you do the shout-outs.
Oh, do you? Oh, great. I'll do the shout-outs.
No, I'm joking.
Can I just say, cheerings were delighted.
Oh, were they?
They were delighted.
Well, I went Helena back and bought, like, another four pairs.
She said so.
And what I'm obsessed with cheerings, sorry, we're just going to talk about them a little bit more. I did buy the earrings.
I just want
to let you know. Yeah. So I'm not, haven't been gifted to me. I'm not talking about it because it was a gift or that they're paying me in any way. But these earrings, every time I go back on the site.
Yeah.
It's constantly refreshing.
Mm.
It's not the same earrings on there all the time, which I really like. It means that you are getting something unique or interesting. And they've got pre-worn stuff on there as well, which is completely unique. It's,
good, isn't it?
Vintage. I love cheering.
She's sold out of your peace signs, though. You broke, great. You broke the internet.
I broke the internet. That's great news.
One thing we haven't talked about, which I really think we should.
Yes.
Young Driver.
Oh, that was it.
I know.
Well, let's be quick.
Yeah, let's be quick.
We've recommended them before.
We've recommended them before.
But we recommended Young Driver before we went.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it as a concept, but I didn't fully understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so Young Driver UK, look them up online.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I think it's something like 60 to 70 different venues around the UK where they do driving, off-road driving lessons for kids that are under 17.
Yes, but so, did I read that it's from 4 to 17?
4 to 17.
4 years old. Yeah. Have you got kids who are interested in cars and want to drive?
Amazing.
It's a no-brainer.
So we took our sons to Lingfield Racecourse and they drove on tarmac.
Yeah, tarmac. Yeah.
All the way around. And in an hour, my son was changing gear really confidently, got up to 40 miles an hour.
Mm.
He's still sort of rabbit hopping a little bit, but he's But he got out of the car and he's like, I definitely want to go again. So I've booked, and again, I just want to say, so, for the podcast, I've paid.
Yes.
To do it. Get the boys to go again. But I'm highly, highly recommending it as an absolute brilliant confidence builder. And importantly, I'm going to stop talking in a minute, Michael. Sorry, because I'm so excited. But really importantly, it's really difficult to get kids into a driving lesson because there's still so much backlog from COVID. And when my son and your son get to the point where they're ready to take the test, they'll only need five or six on-road like lessons. Yeah,
love a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I compared it to a dry ski slope before you go skiing. Like, you go skiing already being able to ski.
Yes.
The beauty about this is by the time you take your first lesson, you already know how to drive. Yes. Like, it is a really good facility, I think.
And you are in proper driving, like at the kind of car that you would learn to drive on in a lesson. You're being taught by absolutely brilliant teachers. It's obviously one-to-one because you can only have one person learning how to drive at a time, but it's one-to-one. It's incredibly safe. You'll be doing things in your first lesson that you never imagined you'd be able to.
It's not driving in a car park.
No.
Which is what I thought it might be.
At Blue Water, some of the venues are big car parks.
But they're either that big. You're driving at 30, 40 miles an hour.
Yes, you can go to a race course
and
drive at 30 or 40 miles an hour. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. So they're called Young Driver UK on Instagram, and it's youngdriver.com on the internets. And absolutely go and sign up. They've got venues all over the place. And both our kids were like,
wow, they loved it, didn't they? Brilliant. And they're going again.
Yeah. So they have messaged, first of all. So they just wanted to say, lovely to meet you at Lingfield Park. I'm so glad the boys enjoyed their lesson. And and they just wanted to say thanks very much. And that was from Sue.
Oh, Sue was thanks so for getting in touch. Nice.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant.
We had a really, really good time. That was fantastic.
Sorry, it just says here, we have 70 UK venues and delivered us 1.2 million lessons.
And it's all over the country.
Oh,
it's everywhere.
It's saying here.
Yes.
Hold it, people.
Oh, yes.
They want to offer a 10% discount to our listeners.
That's so good.
So they want to do a discount code. So how
we
should we do that?
It.
We'll post the discount code.
We will post the
on
discount
our
code
Instagram page,
and we will do it on the grid, so it doesn't disappear.
So it doesn't disappear.
And we will remove it once the discount
has gone. So we'll do it as a single post.
Yeah.
Okay. But Sue, that is a very, very
brilliant. Thank you so much, Sue. That's so nice. Thank you.
I can email her and we can get that set up and get that posted. Thanks, Sue. Young Driver UK. Absolutely superb. Brilliant. Okay. Wendy Bell. Davina and Michael. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Wendy Bell. I have refused and refused to buy an air fryer. But Michael, you should be on commission. After listening to... I've got commission. They've sent me one. I mean, it's brilliant. After listening to Friday's pod, I bought the one that you recommended. It better be good. I couldn't resist it. It sounds great. There are five in our household, but I'm hoping it helps speed things up.
It
really does, because you can chuck the roast potatoes in it and free up the oven. You know, there's loads of things in ways in which could... I use other appliances and save electric. Also, Davina, I have to mention your interview with Stephen Bartlett. I have no words for how good this was. Truly amazing. Got a little spine. I actually got a little pain in my chest at one point.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Little sobs were coming out. I was speechless. My family know I'm a big fan of Making the Cut and of season two, and it was lovely to get my message from my 20-year-old daughter saying, Mum, I'm listening to Davina on Diary of CEO. Oh. It's amazing. You need to listen ASAP. She said you were
an
inspiration.
That's really nice.
I now keep hearing her say, keep walking, keep walking. Even I'm really going to Jesus Christ. Okay, Wendy, that's great. Says,
Thanks, Wendy, for the feedback.
It's good.
I really appreciate it.
I think there's going to be a lot of that because there's been a lot of people just saying how great that interview was. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to listen to it.
It's 2 hours long, Michael.
I'm going to listen to some of it. I'm going to watch the highlights, basically. Being a hairdresser, I'm interested in the highlights. Okay, what is this? Yesterday, somebody have sent Without Sin, which was the drama, I think, with, let's just...
Vicky McClure,
that's right, yes.
I still haven't watched that.
A couple of murder mystery type things that we've been recently enjoyed watching, Riptide with Joy Joyner and The Light in the Hallway with Joanna Scanlon. binged both. Big thumbs up. I knew that name wasn't right when I typed it. Joe Joyner, is that right?
Yeah.
Joe Joyner. Oh, Joy. She put Joy Joyner, and it's Joe. Okay, good. Louise Roundtree, thank you so much for that. So that's The Light in the Hallway and Riptide. I went into, like, radio mode there. That's The Light in the Hallway and Riptide.
How's the salmon doing?
Salmon is probably doing pretty well.
This was the one that I saw earlier. This is quite funny. Just typing in. Michael's just typing in his code. I know your code. Thank you for Davina for trying to get Michael to stop eating. I'm someone with misophonia, and I had to stop listening to the podcast for a while and gave it another go this year. I now understand that this is a genetic issue and not something I can do anything about, and I do really appreciate Davina's efforts to stop him doing it.
I will make my own efforts from now on, Highland Heffalump, to
I've
not
heard of
make...
this before.
Yeah.
One more?
One more from Rishi Edwards there. Go on.
You said Rishi like it's Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, but is that not... That...
No, it's Richie.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's what I would say.
See, Richie would be IE, I thought.
Richie's just discovered the pod, 9 series too late, apparently. Sorry, but you can start from the beginning. And it's kept me thoroughly good company as I cooked and ate my dinner this evening. I could have joined some friends for a drink, but I didn't really fancy it, but also didn't appreciate how much I needed some form of company this evening until I struck on you. Anyway, I'm trying this thing where I intentionally reach out to folk, whether it's creatives or small businesses, when I've had a great experience. We could all do with some words of encouragement in the current climate. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to future episodes. Someone else can cook next time, though. Can I just say something? Yeah. Richie, I really, really like that message, because we publicly now on social media, we have a place where we can complain about things and, you know, think that maybe that will cause some kind of action. But very, very few people, and that's why we did this pod, reach out to say something positive. So firstly, I just want to say that we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. That meant a lot. But also, you know, yes, spread some love. And you've encouraged me to do that a bit more. You know, when we love something, tell someone.
To reach out a bit.
To reach out. And what a lovely person you are for doing it. And definitely get someone to cook next time.
We've given you a little follow, Richie. We so liked that message.
Yeah. Thank you, Richie.
I took my car to Quick Fit this week to get a service. I always take it to Quick Fit. I find they're very good
by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
And they fit.
Funnily enough. Yeah. And as I was in there was a bloke came in, and I was waiting to give me keys to the receptionist to say, just a service and all that jazz. And as I turned around, the bloke said, can I just say how much I love your podcast? And I was like, get out.
Stop it.
I absolutely love it.
And are you serious?
I said, it's very funny.
I still get so excited. I just can never believe that people actually listen to it.
Well, what's interesting is
funny.
I'm aware there are lots and lots of women that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, but men.
But it's so nice when a bloke says
it. Because
I just think, oh, great. You know, how nice. And not that I'm not happy, obviously, that women... When they say,
no, but it's very women heavy. It is nice when, and you know, we do try and do ambidextrous,
mixed stuff,
recommendations,
right? Bisexual stuff,
bisexual, unisex,
androgynous,
whatever
it is.
Shut up.
But anyway, if you're listening, you were the guy in Quick Fit. I was meant to say, what's your name? Because I would have said hello to you here. But it's very nice, and thanks to anybody who comes up and says. We really love it. Yeah, it's great.
And we love you.
Yeah, you the listener.
You are very special to us, and thanks so much.
Have a lovely weekend, everybody. I hope the weather's nice and all of that jazz.
Take care.
I'm going to make you some salmon.
Literally, it smells amazing.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye.